The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going now to turn to the issue of so-called paedophile hunters, because the Gardaí have raised concerns about their actions after a man from Waterford was identified on Facebook and attacked. There have been a couple of incidents in recent weeks, Waterford and Drogheda in particular, where the so-called paedophile hunters have posted live videos on Facebook. Darren O'Neill, you're from a group, Emerald Hunters Ireland. Just explain to listeners, please, what it is you do.
Well, as Emerald Hunters Ireland, I head that team. What we do is we set up profiles for decoys to catch these online predators. What we do is, when you're setting up on these profiles, what you do is you build the profile, you get consent of an adult who would be in their 20s or 30s to use a picture of them when they were 14 or so, or younger. Once you get that consent, then what you do is you build up a profile. When you build up the profile, you set it onto one of these apps, like sort of Hearsay, Nearby, Meet for You, Fast Meet, or Facebook. Once this happens, you do not approach anybody online first, because that's seen as entrapment. So what we do is we sit and watch. Within minutes, or even seconds, you have about between 20 to 50 predators jumping on, and the first thing that happens is they say hello, or they say hi, or whatever, and you just reply back whatever the decoy name is, and the decoy will always say their age. Within about five or six texts from between the two things, the decoy will always state their age. But some of these guys just don't go away. They just, you know, does my age bother you? But I'm only 14, or I'm only 10, or whatever it is. And these guys keep coming back. Some of them will turn around and just automatically say hello. And then next thing, you get an explicit picture of a penis, or you get an explicit picture of masturbation videos or pornographic videos. And they just keep going and going and going.
So what do you do then in response?
In response, what we do is, while they're chatting on the chat room, the decoy, which is just chats back and forward, but these guys don't realise when they're chatting back and forward and sending these explicit messages, we have a team of hunters who will sit and get all the information from the decoy. And when these guys arrange a meetup, like, we don't arrange a meeting up, but if we arrange a meetup, again, it's called entrapment, but we don't entrap anybody, you know what I mean? So once they arrange the meet, what they do is they'll go to that specific place. When they're going to the specific place, they'll still, till today, they will still keep taxing and taxing and taxing. Like, for instance, I was on the leader of the team that done this thing in Drogheda the other night. This guy had, you know, I mean, sent so really, really ugly messages, pictures, even a masturbation video to the decoy while we were en route to his house. Now, we weren't meant to get him to the following day, but because he had turned around and said to the decoy, and in the message, "Would you be jealous if I had someone younger than you in bed beside me?" And my decoy's response to the message was, "How young and what do you mean?" And he goes, "I'm in bed naked, playing with myself, with my 4-year-old niece, and I've also touched her." And that's the exact words that he has said. Now, we turned around ourselves, and instead of waiting till the next day, we got our team together of our hunters and our decoys and says, "We can't wait to this. We need to go and get this guy now."
And how are you sure that when you went to this person's house, you had the right person?
Well, first of all, he sent us his mobile number. He had told us where he lived. He told us that he drove a car, which was untrue. He told us he had a brother, which was untrue. We just don't go on a whim. We'll not just turn up at somebody's door and say, "Hey, are you done this?" We'll not go anywhere unless we have 100,000,000% of concrete evidence. Like, for instance, you'll get his profile picture. You'll get to know what he says about his family. Sometimes some of these predators will tell you, "Oh, I've got a brother. This is his name. This is a kind of car drive. Or this is where I live." Send you more information on, like, "Oh, do you want my phone number?" You get the phone number. The first thing you do with the phone number is you type it into the likes of Facebook, or you type it up onto 192.com, and bang, you get all their information.
Okay, when you go to the person, though, when you confront them, what do? Do you contact the Gardaí, or do you contact the PSNI in the north?
Well, if it's in the north or in the south, what we do is we'll confront those first. We'll go, sometimes if it's someone who's got a real bad learning difficulty or a disability, we won't put them on camera. We'll have a camera going live, yes, to listen to the talking of the hunters and of the predator. And the reason this recorded is to protect us and also protect him. So what we would do is we would go live and he will talk to us. We'll read out the chats as like a questionnaire to him, and 95% of the time they admit it. And, you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, they can't turn around and deny it, because it's in black and white. We have all the chat logs in front of them. And once we say, if we're there for about 5 minutes or so and he's admitting the things, we always say to him, we're here to protect you. So if anybody comes in here to try and harm you, we have to stand in our roads and we have to take...
But Darren, who are you to be actually dispensing this form of summary justice? So this is not on Garda Síochána or the PSNI. It's not a hearing in the court where evidence can be heard. You're effectively having a live trial via Facebook.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say you're having a live trial. What we're doing is we're all concerned parents as well. Do you know what I mean? Everybody on our team's a parent. So we do go to their doors and we confront them on it, because why should we not? Because at the end of the day, if they're good enough to sit back and make up profiles and go to kids and groom kids online, send explicit pictures, like as I said, he had sent a masturbation video and ejaculated on the video to a 13-year-old decoy. And the girl that was doing the decoy was actually sick in the chair and we had to stop. You know what I mean? So we're not vigilantes. Everybody calls us a vigilante. A vigilante are a group who goes down with baseball bats, masks, covering their faces and give these people chickens. We don't do that. We go and we confront them. We confront them because they deserve to be confronted, because at the end of the day, they're grooming children. You know, we're out there to protect not only my own children, but we're out there more so to protect the nation's children, the children of Ireland and the UK. Because at the end of the day, nobody should be able allowed to groom a child, no matter what age they are.
Okay, Darren O'Neill, thank you for joining us from Emerald Hunters Ireland. We're joined up by Maeve Lewis, Executive Director of 1in4. Maeve, what do you make of these activities? How helpful do you believe they are in trying to combat the scourge of paedophiles operating on the internet?
Good afternoon, Matt. Well, I mean, I don't think anybody could listen to what Dara has described there and not realise what a frightening situation we are in now, given the easy access to the internet by very, very young children. And, I mean, we've all heard of high-profile cases in the last couple of weeks where predators were convicted of grooming very young children, 8, 9, 10-year-olds online, forcing the kids to send very obscene images and so on. So, I mean, there is no doubt that we have a huge problem. And at 1in4, as well as working with the survivors of child sexual abuse, we also run a sex offender intervention programme. So we have a good insight into what goes on in the mind of a sex offender. And I would be very, very concerned by the activities of groups like Dara's and there are other groups working. Well, first of all the international research would show, Matt, that if you create a climate of hunting down sex offenders, the sex offenders will go underground, and that is when they're at the most dangerous. I mean, the optimum situation is if we can create a culture where people like the people Dara described would be able to access good treatment programs or indeed face the criminal justice system. Some of the activities that Dara is describing pose a real risk of undermining the possibility of bringing, say, that man he described to the criminal justice system. It could create real problems with evidence. And I know the Gardaí would be very, very concerned. There is also the possibility, Dara, you know, refused to describe himself as a vigilante, but that tempers might run high and somebody could get very badly hurt. Or worse again, that the wrong person could be identified, as happened very recently in a Midland town here, where a completely innocent man had to take refuge in a pub and call the Gardaí for protection while a crowd bayed outside because they believed he was an online predator, when in fact the man was, I think, visiting the town to look for buying a house or something of that nature. So that's a real concern. I mean, you know, we are facing a really problematic situation, and legislation is way behind the technological advances that are out there.
It is, but Maeve, I suppose people will say that, you know, these people are finding these predators, the Gardaí don't seem to be, and they are actually doing it in such a way as that it's not hidden justice, but they're actually exposing these people online and creating the circumstances for the Gardaí to make an interventions and arrests.
That's all very well, but what happens if other people decide to take matters into their own hands, and that these people are driven underground and disappear from sight, move, and nobody knows where they are? I mean, we do need to resort. The Gardaí do a great job, but they are very under-resourced, and we need to do that. But the bottom line, Matt, is there is a huge responsibility here on parents to know what and who their children are contacting online. I mean, if you give a young child, a young teenager, a smartphone, you may as well let them free to walk around the city centre here in Dublin on a Saturday night on their own. That is, if you are allowing unsupervised access and not educating yourself to all the different apps, all the different ways of accessing these chat rooms and so on, you know, it is a huge problem, because kids are far more technologically savvy than their parents.
Well, indeed, Maeve, actually, there's a campaign at the moment. The editor of the Irish Mail, Daily Mail, Sebastian Hamilton, is running, saying to ban smartphones been purchased by under-16s. Would that be an idea?
Well, good luck with that, because I can imagine uproar. But certainly the idea that 8, 9 and 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, primary school children have access to smartphones and unsupervised access to various internet sites is very, very frightening to me.
Okay.
I mean, the day is long gone, Matt, when internet access was through the big computer sitting on the living room table. You know, kids have smartphones, all sorts of other devices, and parents need support and education about what is possible on these devices.
Okay.
And need to protect their children, and need to take some responsibility in this matter as well.
Maeve Lewis from 1&4, thank you very much.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.